Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Free Trader Box Set, Books 7 through 9, by Craig Martell. Narrated by Gabriel Vaughan. Book 7, Southern Discontent. The Raid on Livstall. An arrow thudded into the Wolfoid's shoulder. Her cry of pain pierced the cool morning calm. Farthest afield from Livstall, she turned to call for help, but the town was too far away. Her head spun as she started to fall. The livestock grazed, oblivious to her anguish. Her eyes rolled back in her head, leaving the shadow of a pack of humans in the back of her mind. Humans, carrying bows and arrows, running toward Livstall, her home. The chill morning air affected the old and young alike. The pups and younger Wolfoids were more energetic while the oldsters were less so, shuffling about as the blood flowed sluggishly through old veins. The day was clear and the animals grazed. Domesticated pork, raised for two purposes, to feed the Wolfoids and to trade for goods that the town needed. "Get down!" White Mountain cried from her padded seat. She remained on the rounded cushion, lying on the ground, having no inclination to chase after the errant pup. To a human ear, her words would have sounded like yips and growls. To the pup, they sounded like a general's command. The pup hung its head as it slowly climbed from the roof of a storage shed. He had intended to jump onto the roof and pounce on his playmates, but White Mountain was having none of it. A new plan was in order. When he hit the ground, he bolted around the side of the nearest building. White Mountain shook her head. "Where do they find the energy?" she thought. Was that movement? White Mountain turned her graying muzzle toward it. Just the herd grazing. Where was Running Stream? She was on duty that morning. Probably on the far side, chasing a stray. Nothing else caught her eye. She turned back, in time to catch another one of the pups just before he got into trouble. Running Stream winced, remembering the arrow, but not how she ended up on the ground. "How long have I been out?" she wondered. But the men were there, not far ahead, crouched low and running toward Livstall. She levered onto her side and forced herself to stand shakily on three legs. She looked for her walking stick, but couldn't see it. Waves of red swept across her vision. "To arms! To arms!" she called weakly. The herd continued to graze, unfazed by the emergency, unmoved by the near-whispered shout. She started to lope, using the ungainly three-legged gait of an injured Wolfoid. She abandoned the herd as she made it to two legs and started to run, waving her good foreleg as she sought the attention of her people. The running men closed on the town, increasing the distance between them and Running Stream. She was falling behind. She was failing her town, failing her people. One of the men turned back. Spotting her, he quickly knocked an arrow and fired. Running Stream dove to the ground, grunting with the impact. She stayed down until an arrow dug into the ground by her side. She jumped to her feet with renewed vigor and ran to the side, dodging as she went. Stream never knew if they fired more arrows at her. Her breath came in ragged gasps. She saw only escape and was running toward it, informing the town of the danger disappeared in her blind panic. White Mountain clapped her hands to get the attention of two furballs rolling in the dirt. They stopped and looked at her.
"Enough of that. I swear you pups will be the life of me," she cursed.
They started to walk away before one darted and the other took off after him. An arrow thudded into the framework of the building behind her. She looked at it dumbly, not understanding what she was seeing. She cocked her head one way, then the other. A squeal ripped from her as a second arrow dug deeply into her chest. She gasped and panted, unable to catch her breath. She reached for the pups to protect them and fell on her face. Men ran into town, shouting at any wolfoid they saw. The pups fled from the onslaught, while arrows flew at their rapidly retreating forms. The men kicked in doors and pulled oldsters out, propelling them toward the center of town. They let those go who were fleeing into the field. The morning's crisp air settled in an uneasy calm over Livstall. The yelling stopped, leaving only the sound of whimpers and the breeze in the nearby trees.
"Can we help, White Mountain?"
one of the older wolfoids asked in her native tongue. "Shut up, you," the man replied. To him, the wolfoid hadn't used language, but had only made dog noises. He growled at the creature, pointing an arrow nocked to his bowstring. "You understand this, don't you?" He laughed with a crooked smile, and some of his gruff fellows joined him. They didn't search all the buildings, only the ones around the town square. Just enough to be sure that they wouldn't get a nasty surprise.
"What are you waiting for?"
the old wolfoid asked, quickly holding up his hands and looking away when the man pulled back and prepared to unleash an arrow. Time crawled as the pups gathered themselves. The oldest of the bunch, Cygnus Standing, the firstborn on V, rallied the pups.
"What are you waiting for? We're not cowards," Cygnus barked. "White Mountain needs our help. They all need our help. They can't shoot us, so we'll run as fast as we can, right at them. Can you run fast like the wind?"
The other pups nodded, but their eyes were wide, the whites showing their fear.
"No choice,"
Cygnus thought. A large hunting party had left the town the day before and gone into the rainforest. They wouldn't return until nightfall. The pups were the town's only hope, unless they wanted to live their lives in shame. That thought raised Cygnus Standing's hackles.
"We're all our oldsters have. Follow me. Spread out behind me. I'll act as a shield so they can't see you. They have bows, so when we get within range, you must run like you're chasing a rabbit that doesn't wish to be caught."
The others nodded hesitantly. Cygnus stayed where he was as he fought with his courage. Running to certain death didn't appeal to him. He had not yet lived. He had not yet been blooded. His lips quivered. He roared his dismay, and without looking back at the others, he turned and raced toward the village. His heart threatened to pound out of his chest. He saw starbursts before his eyes, but he didn't slow. He focused on pounding ahead, running on all fours. He heard the others, and that relief cleared the way before him. He bared his canines as the town came into sharp focus. He tore around the corner and into the square, running past the nearest man and leaping for the one aiming an arrow into the assembled pack. The man jerked as he tried to bring the arrow around. Cygnus hit the man with the full weight of his half-grown wolfoid body. The two slammed into the wall behind them. Cygnus sunk his teeth into the man's shoulder. The warm blood drove him into a frenzy. He snarled and tried shaking his head, as he would to kill prey, but the man drove a knife across Cygnus Standing's ribcage. When he pulled back for another attempt to stab the wolfoid, Cygnus jumped away. The man's bow lay on the ground, dropped with the impact.
"You toad waffle! I'll kill you for this!"
the man screamed, tipping his chin toward his shoulder. He tossed his knife from hand to hand, as if trying to draw the wolfoid's attention away. Cygnus stood on all fours, snarling. His hand-like paw found a small rock. In a move too fast to follow, he launched the rock at the man's face. The rock flew true, hitting the man in the forehead with a sickening thud. He staggered, but didn't fall. Cygnus Standing looked down to see his own blood dripping on the ground. His vision swam. He tried to focus, but his vigor drained with his blood. The pain burned through his ribs. His adrenaline surge faded. Cygnus stumbled and fell. The other pups were engaged with the men, the speed and surprise of the wolfoid attack winning the moment. None of the pups had been shot. The oldsters in the pack surged from the town square, flowing over the men like a wave. But the oldest and the youngest couldn't stand long before trained and motivated warriors.
"Why?"
one of the oldsters cried in the wolfoid tongue as the tide of battle turned in the men's favor. Using their bows as clubs, they sent the wolfoids scattering. The men faced the wolfoids as they backed from the town square. Many of the attackers were bleeding, but they held their bows firmly. They could have fired, but didn't. Confusion gripped the young wolfoids as they growled and snapped at the retreating forms. The oldsters made them hold their ground and not go after the men.
"We can't let Cygnus' standing sacrifice be in vain,"
Blackest Pitch, the oldest pup, told the others.
"I'm going to be okay,"
Cygnus mumbled with the relief that Numweed brought.
"We shall avenge you,"
Pitch continued, working the youngest pups into a chest-beating frenzy.
"What's that?"
Windrunner, another pup, asked. They squinted into the distance to see the vile creatures known as men jogging through their field, scattering their livestock as if it was a game.
"No!"
Runner waved at them and pointed with his canine forearm at a hard angle away from where they were looking.
"There!"
Far to the side, hunched and trying to move stealthily through a low ditch, a number of men hurried away from the village. They were carrying bundles of wolfoid spears. Lightning spears. And they were getting away.
"Check the armory,"
an oldster said coldly. Pitch dropped to all fours and launched his brown body through the square and to the far end of the town. Three of the older pups joined him. The door was waving in the light breeze. He didn't need to go in to know, but he stuck his snout inside to confirm his suspicions. The lightning spears were gone. All of them. Rainy Forest, Windrunner, and Low Crawler forced their muzzles into the gap between Pitch and the doorframe.
"They got our spears,"
Runner exclaimed.
"We can't let them get away with it,"
Forrest cried, starting to bounce as his agitation increased.
"We have to,"
Crawler said matter-of-factly.
"We have to go after them. There is no one else, and the humans must not be allowed to keep our spears."
Pitch didn't want to lead the expedition, but he was the next oldest to Cygnus standing, having been born of the same litter.
"It's up to us,"
he growled, and the four started to run. Bounder and Strider carried one of many field-stripped carcasses. The hunters laughed and joked as the path from the rainforest led into the gentle fields that surrounded their town. Flowing green grasses waved as if welcoming them home. No need to remain quiet. The hunt was finished.
"We will eat well tonight,"
Bounder yipped and barked.
"For the next week, my mate,"
Strider replied proudly. Eight warriors, plying their trade for the good of the town, returning home with the bounty, a reward for their skill. The wailing lilted toward them, unmistakable in its grief. Bounder nodded to Strider, and they started to run, the spear between them bouncing with the heavy carcass of a fat boar. The others rushed after them, two by two, staying in step to improve their speed. Leaving trampled grass in their wake, they ran into town, dumping their kills in the central square. Bounder looked at the carnage, blood splatters across the ground, and White Mountain and Cygnus standing being tended to by the oldsters. Bounder saw four pups running into the fields.
"Get back here,"
he howled. Tail over nose, they rolled in their rush to stop. They stood, torn between going after the raiders or returning as their alpha commanded. Pitch tipped his nose toward Livstall. Casting glances behind him, he led the way back to town. His head and tail drooped as he trudged home. His failure to protect his people or avenge them weighed heavily on his soul. The other whipped pups followed.
"What happened?"
Strider asked. Endless sky hovered over a pale white mountain.
Be ready with a patch of numbweed, he told one of the newly returned hunters.
The wolfoid opened the pouch on his hip and pulled out a moist handful. Sky turned his attention to the alpha.
We were attacked, he paused, by men. They raided Livstall for the fun of it.
Men? But that's not possible. They didn't take anything.
Bounder crouched close to Mountain, holding her hand, as Sky braced himself to pull the arrow from her chest. He yanked the arrow free. She grunted, cried, and passed out. Sky threw the arrow to the side and packed the wound with numbweed.
We can only pray it is enough that her years aren't working against her.
Bounder nodded as he draped Mountain's limp forearm over her chest. One of the hunters rushed in, nearly tripping over Cygnus Standing. Bounder leapt to his feet as if a new intruder had appeared. Bounder's lip curled upward, exposing a single canine.
My apologies, the hunter stammered. The lightning spears, they are all gone.
Oh no,
Strider whispered.
Were you going after them?
Bounder asked the pups as they loped into town.
Yes, my alpha,
Blackest Pitch shouted, his tail instantly perked up.
In due time, Bounder cautioned. You aren't even armed, and they now have lightning spears. You will protect the village while Strider and I run to New Sanctuary. We must tell Mika and Brayden about this.
More humans?
Sky scoffed. Bounder grabbed the oldster by the back of his neck, as if he was an offending pup.
They saved our people, he snarled. Gave us a future, where we can hunt like we were meant to. The wolfoids do not want a war with humanity. You will find how small this world would become if we started killing humans. You would also find that we would not long survive such a conflict.
Sky grumbled as he bowed his head in deference.
Stay here, protect the town. We will return before nightfall.
Bounder dropped to all fours as his huge back paws tore up the earth in his run out of Livstall. Strider's lean form raced after him, their lightning spears slapping the ground in an uneven rhythm. The President's Warriors. Brayden lounged by the small lake in New Sanctuary. The Golden Warrior was perched on the dock, his front legs dangling near the water. A small bug hung from a single claw. G-War danced it over the top of the water while watching the fish circle below. Clytus and Shauna wedged their bodies against their father's so they could better see what he was doing. The twins, Axial and Deatesh, ran circles around the lake while the fountain in the middle sprayed a continuous fan of water. Mika closed her eyes and imagined a gentle rain falling. The sun was out in what promised to be a beautiful day. Phelona and Tretis watched from a shaded branch above the lounging humans. The Hawkoids, Skirrel and Zaina, had been there earlier, but heard that wild rabbits were intruding into the pepper garden. The rabbits, Heloisis and Luciana, weren't able to keep their smaller, domestic cousins away. The Hawkoids and Hillcats weren't sure the rabbits were trying too hard, so they kept the population down, but only when they wouldn't be seen by their friends. Eating a wild domestic rabbit would be too traumatic for the kind and cultured refugees from the orbiting colony ship, the RV Traveler. Brant, King of the Aurochs, was stamping and wreaking havoc at the far end of the fields. A security bot was fending him off, not with lasers, but with its impressive metal body. Brayden used his neural implant to bring up a book he'd been reading in a series about a marine and his werewolf wife exporting justice to the far reaches of the galaxy. If only they could have come here, their world would look so different now. He brought up the text and continued to read. Mika saw him unfocus his eyes. He loved to read. She loved nature. She rose to walk to the dock, curious as to whether G-War would catch a fish today or not. He pulled the bait away when a fish darted toward it.
Are you even trying?
Mika stopped the twins before they raced onto the dock and risked sending the cats into the water. It had happened before and was never a pretty sight.
I am only fishing for one. He rests on the bottom, fat from eating all that gets past this mob of ingrates,
Jiwar replied in his thought voice. Tretis jumped from the branch, landing in the hot sand. He strolled boldly to the edge of the water, slapped at it with one paw, and waded in.
It's water, Shauna and Clytus cried. You'll get wet.
Tretis lifted his nose in the air, revolted by the feeling of the water on his skin, but he was on full display. All eyes watched as he jumped into the air and twisted to dive into the water, going deep toward the bottom.
I don't hate this,
he thought as he locked his eyes on his prey, the king of the fish in the lake. If Jiwar was hunting it, then it was a worthy adversary. The vicious scar along Tretis's side glistened under the water as he kicked and swam, finding it to be a natural motion. He closed on the big beast. It loomed large as he approached. His claws extended as he prepared to dig into the exposed sides. With a swish of its tail, the brute was gone. And Tretis was out of air. He angled toward the surface and braced his back paws on the solar panels that made up the bottom of the lake. The cat pushed off as hard as he was able. He kicked the water furiously with all four paws until he broke the surface to take a desperate breath. He looked around to see if anyone was watching. Everyone was watching. He started dog paddling casually toward the beach.
None of you lightweights tried.
I wonder why, Jiwar replied.
Now, now, boys,
Fay cautioned with a gentle mind touch tisk tisk. Tretis walked ashore, waiting until he was between Brayden and Mika before shaking out his fur. Brayden had missed the whole endeavor, having been deeply embroiled in his book. Mika threw her hand up in time to keep her face dry, but nothing could save the rest of her.
Tretis, she wailed.
What the hell did I do to deserve that? Brayden was shocked back to the real world. He scowled as he wiped his face with the back of his arm, blinking the scene into focus. What happened to you?
I demonstrated my can-do attitude, Tretis replied over the mind link. Fearlessly, I may add.
Two hawkoids swooped in, flared with wings arced wide, and landed with a gentle touch on an upper branch of the tree. They gripped the branch restlessly.
What happened to him? Skirl asked.
He fell in, Brayden replied.
Did not?
Tretis arced his orange back and fluffed his fur to make himself look bigger than normal.
Bounder and Gray Strider are approaching. They are running like the wind.
Brayden stood and looked south, but the trees of New Sanctuary blocked his view.
Maybe they're just stretching their legs.
Bounder, are you there? Brayden asked, holding a finger to his temple. Jiwar shook his head at his human's antics. The great fish of the lake came head high out of the water and tore the bug off Jiwar's paw, catching his claw on his lip as he headed back underwater. The cat was pulled off the dock and into the water. With a shake of its head, the claw came free. The fish swallowed the bug as it lazily returned to its shaded spot on the bottom. Clytus and Shauna mewed as they looked for their father. When he broke the surface, he did it without grace, flailing mightily as he sought a toehold on the dock. Failing that, he dog-paddled for the shore. Brayden headed for high ground. The twins pointed and laughed. Jiwar ran after them, tackling Axe and standing on him to shake out the water.
You are one skinny cat, Brayden noted,
angling into the brush to maintain his distance from Jiwar's evil glare. Bounder and Strider crashed through the undergrowth in their headlong rush to the lake.
You must come at once to Livstall,
Bounder said as he rested his front hand on Brayden's shoulder, panting heavily from his run.
Men have attacked us, injured our people, and taken our lightning spears.
Brayden's look of disbelief changed. his lip raised, wolfoid-like, into a snarl.
"What men?" he asked through clenched teeth.
Bounder held up his hands. He didn't know.
"You stay here," Mika yelled. "I'll get the horses."
"Brant?" Brayden asked.
"Yeah, I'll get the wagon. Have Brant meet us there," Mika said, as she looked at Skirrel and Zaina.
The Hawkoids nodded and took wing to engage the Aurochs, since he was locked in heated combat with the security bot. At least in the king's mind, he was.
"I'll take care of it," G-War replied. "Brant, stop goofing around with that thing. We have an emergency and need your help. Livstal has been attacked."
"The lizard men are back?"
The king's thought voice boomed.
"Just men, Brant. We need to get to the bottom of this, and I know that we are better together, even when the only enemy is ourselves."
"You are not the enemy, my friends."
They could feel the pounding of the king of the Aurochs' hooves as much as they could hear them.
"The harm is the individual's responsibility. I believe in the good of all, even the Amazonians."
"Yours is the wisest mind of us all," Brayden said.
"I concur,"
Adi agreed, as he swam through the air, entering the clearing, to happy shouts from the twins.
"When did you get back?" Brayden asked the tortoid.
"Last night, Master Brayden, but I was weary from the long trip. I brought Daksha with me. My boy is making me proud. He is so smart."
"Thanks, Adi, but we need to go, and I'm sure we could use your counsel. Will you join us?"
"My life has been greatly enriched since I joined you. I shall not miss out on another chance to watch you make the world a better place."
The tortoid blinked slowly as he communicated with his thought voice, his mind clearly enunciating the words. Bounder explained everything he knew, which wasn't much. When he finished, everyone agreed that the right thing to do was to go after the men and recover the lightning spears before any more harm could be done. Mika ground her teeth as she winced at the thought of the attack, the damage, and worst, the evil that the men could do with so many lightning spears. As president of V, she had the responsibility to stop what could lead to war. She grabbed Brayden as he rushed around giving orders to load one thing or another into the old tech wagon.
"I will send the security bots after them if I have to. We cannot let such a group have lightning spears. No one will be safe. Eventually they will show up here and try to take over."
"I know," Brayden said as he cupped Mika's face in his hand. "We'll get them, but we have to be careful. We can't run headlong into an ambush. We'd be incinerated."
"We leave in 10, Mika called.
She made a pistol with her fingers and mouthed the words, "I'll be right back." She turned and raced for the armory. The Hawkoids headed toward Livstal as they sought the raiders.
"Holly, we need your help," Brayden said, using his neural implant.
Brant ran effortlessly in front of the old tech wagon, his hooves tearing up the ground on the well-worn wagon trail to Livstal. The wagon's solar-powered drives assisted the King of the Aurochs to move the wagon. 5 Hillcats, 2 Wolfoids, 4 humans, 2 rabbits, and 1 tortoid filled the group and the wagon. G-War and Treatise were comfortably riding on top of the king's head, where they could best look down on their domain. The king made short work of the trip to Livstal. When he reached the outskirts of the town, he pulled up in a huge cloud of dust and trampled grass. Bounder and Strider were first out of the back, running as they hit the ground. The others followed, even the rabbits, although they were always uncomfortable in the Wolfoids' presence because the Wolfoids always smelled of meat. Brayden and Mika hurried toward a commotion in the center of town. The cats, Axe and Tesh, ran alongside. A crowd of Wolfoids gathered around the Alpha and his mate, all of them speaking at once. Brayden and Mika couldn't understand any of it. G-War appeared on a nearby roof as if by magic. Brayden noticed him and tried to make eye contact. The cat ignored him. Treatus bolted and took a running leap at the side of the building. He made it halfway up.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?